This morning, turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And I read to you from verse 1 to 3. That's my main verse of the verse 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, you know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are thinking about the verse 3 this morning. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In the other way, the same that came to me here, John chapter 3, verse 3. Now, somewhere says, you are not used to do Pharisee near friend Nicodemus. Now, see the friend of Prime Minister will say, the soul will say, Sir, Yahoo, who for a Yahoo Pong, a Hindu. And our subject is the heavenly bed. In thinking of this, our subject is the heavenly bed. Yeah, maybe we're who yet. Somewhere in Jan Swajan, we a stroke, a war, a war, a feet, a stroke. Now, as I said, these are the words of Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this to Nicodemus, as we see in our reading. And Nicodemus, we are told, he was a ruler of the Jews, meaning he was a religious leader of the Jewish people. And he came to know more about Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, yeah, Bible saw here, depending on opinion or Israel, Jew for you, or by Jesus Christ. He came to know more about him, because look at his inquiry, said that the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So, it's all by you to and my job, the baby son, said, in himself, we will be our feet, Nicodemus came to Jesus to make an inquiry. He came to seek to know him and to know him more. He has heard about Jesus Christ, but he came to seek to know him more. And indeed, Nicodemus, he did the right search, because he didn't go anywhere. When he heard about the Savior, he came to Jesus Christ personally to make that inquiry. He came to him personally to make that inquiry. And that though he was a religious leader, he put away his pride. You see how it was? Because you know, one of the things that was hindering many of the Jews, those who were religious leaders, was their pride. They wouldn't want to lay down who they are to come to Jesus Christ. But this man, Nicodemus, laid down his pride and he came. He laid down his pride in his learning and status and came like an ignorant person to be taught by Jesus Christ. Or and that's the right way to come to Jesus Christ. See, we come to Jesus Christ with whatever. We don't come to him with anything, because we don't know anything. He must teach us, and he must lead us to know him. And the first thing that is very important when we come to Jesus is humility of mind. The humility of mind is the most important thing when we are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. The only kind say about if you say who Jesus Christ will never let you down. I think about what I see in the ocean. He said, "You are dreaming, you know. You are afraid. You are dreaming." There's a difference between showing outward humility and a difference between showing humility of mind. True humility comes from the mind. How I think of myself and how I want to be seen and how I feel I am.
People may think so high of themselves and yet live in the dark before you put your step on them. So you see, that is the most important thing, the humility of mind. Say, I give you no, you be who you have said. Yes, we need no, and you will be. Yes, we need no, you need to be a member or they are at two. And many people, like Nicodemus today, they think that the Christian life is if you want to become a Christian and really know God, is to study maybe theology or doctrines in the Bible. Some may think that, well, I want to know about God, but then they begin by reading maybe commentaries, systematic theologies, and trying to understand every doctrine. And they think that's how to know God, but that's not the way. And maybe they think that, well, they don't want to be like shallow Christians. Well, I have known many people who claim to be Christian, but when I read maybe some of these books or the Bible, I see that they are not Christians, and I want to know more to become, a Christian. And so they begin to maybe read many books and try to get many doctrines in their head. But we know that theology or doctrines and things we study in the Bible to know, they have their proper place in the life of a Christian. It is good to know doctrines, it is good to know theology as a Christian, so that at least our understanding will be clearer. But that has its time. We don't begin by learning doctrines in the Bible. We don't begin by learning theology so that we become a Christian. No, we don't. We know Nicodemus was a theologian. Nicodemus he knew doctrines in the Bible because they were religious leaders of the time. The Pharisees, they know the Bible. But then he didn't know God. That's the difference. You see, Nicodemus can ask me, Yeshua, no, you'll be all Israel, Oma, Ashina, Mesoma, Sonoa, Okahubi. When you Bible, church, but I want to lie for a sea for no, only Bible, and then so now only Yakupo. I mean, they told me, if I may brave you over. I want to say Nicodemus, as we said, Nicodemus, of course, is in a China, the visa on Rancasa. But if you bring no more, almost as this obey Christopher, it might be so. You see a Bible, you know, you might be brave, you see, in church, you be asking, you answer, in church, we ask, man, in church, we ask, yeah. May I just put you like to choose to eat? This is a presumptive way, we go, let me see Trinity asking, presumptive, you know, you bring a Bible, man, yes, yeah. There are many who give excuses because they don't understand this or that. Well, they wouldn't want to listen to tell the Lord Jesus. But Nicodemus, it's not like that. Though he was a learned man religiously, as a religious leader, but he came to Jesus Christ personally. He came to know more about him. And this is what the most important thing when we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the new birth by the Holy Spirit, any Christian experience is useless. So yeah, our Christ Christ a catcher a baby so appointed me to know. So if you move even more far Christo, someone Bible mono has to be any so. We can learn everything in the Bible, but if we have not come to this condition first, we have all that we know is nothing. It's useless because it will count nothing before God. So the answer that the Lord Jesus gave to him is very important. And again, I read to you, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The end of America, he said, Nicodemus here now, he is here, 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 or the and we used to demand no entrance out of front. Say, I only papa for I want to be who you book on a Hindi. Then they hear, I'll front in here. Say, I'll front him by ya. If you're with whom, say, I see, oh, yes, Christo, yes, you're Christo Nyoma, you see about who you're many a year back. And Fanfa Subia and Bray, a bravo, and a cupboard. I bet me a bomb, a bravo, and we are young women, and so. And look at what the Lord Jesus Christ, when Nicodemus came to him, he knew his problem. He knew, one of the verses said, that, are you a religious leader? Are you? And you don't know this. I think one of the verses told him, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You are a Bible teacher in Israel. You are a master of Israel, but you know these things. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew his problem, and that's the problem of every man, whether we are religious or not, until this is done. That's until we are born again. I'm sure we have heard born again before. We have, many people have claimed to be born again. And this is what Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't ask him, have you tried to obey the commandments? Have you tried to pray right? Have you tried to do good to your neighbors? Have you tried to stop this? No, he didn't ask him anything of that. He didn't tell him or ask him, have you done this or that? He said, except the man be born again. When he said, why, Papa, and oh, Abraham, oh, Sumyami, and now, Papa, sorry, and that's all one pie. One Misano. But Shannon said, this is your own. See? Other things are, I mean, the prayers and the they are okay, but the most important thing is to be born again. He knew Nicodemus, as far as you'll be praying, you'll be reading the Bible, you'll go to the temple, you'll do all those things. We know that they're hypocrite. But then, he lacks the new birth. And so we ask this question, what is it to be born again? Yes, we will be a catcher and say, I will put it here. No? Yes, I feel if you say, at the end, I just say, yeah, we'll be fruitful. At the end, the catcher will be fruitful, as it's just said. It's an important thing, very important thing for us to really understand what it is to be born again. It's a very, very important thing to know. Well, the first thing to know is that to be born again is to have a spiritual birth in addition to your natural birth. You know, we are born to this world. We came to this world by being born into this world. That's our first birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that for us to see God, to know Him, and to really become one of God's people, we need to be born again. But we have to have another birth added to us. Yes, Christo. The old church said, "Say in him, say Obi, Obi, we are seeing him. He wants our ba. He will never be away." Now, so answer the very important call. For say the important banner, the important call for obedience. For see in ya sunsumu awo, sunsumu awo. And ayawo ayeka yawo first one. So it's the second bed. That is why it says born again. It's a rebirth to be born again. To be renewed, and so that is my second birth. And indeed, the first is that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of any human being. That's what makes it all something that we should think about. It is the work of God alone. Our hope for you know, and your hope for me to me away. Only God can change the human heart. And the way God does it, the means, it's like the gospel of Jesus Christ. A choir or the first soul, and this argument, and yes, Christo, in the same family. So it's through the gospel that God gives birth to people spiritually. When a sinner hears that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he sacrificed himself for sinners. That he died to pay for our sin's punishment, and a sinner comes to rest his hopes in this, that through the God to forgive him or her, and confess his sins and cry to the Lord to save him, and rest his hopes in this act of our dear Savior, this gracious act, the Bible tells us God gives this birth to the person who does so sincerely, because the gospel is the seed of spiritual life. And St. Paul, I thought you saw so woman at my phone. The gospel is the seed of the spiritual life, and you receive it by faith. You see how it is? The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it in verse 6. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And again, he said that, he repeated it once here, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit, you see. Or say, thou who from whom from the way. Or say, near one of them, or your name, near one from Yawan of Susum or Susum. So that is what the Lord just said. And it happens when the person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen in the vacuum. It doesn't just happen. God has made it that when we hear the gospel about Jesus Christ, that he has died for sinners, and we come to ask him to save us. We repent of our sins and trust in him and call on him to save us. The Bible tells us God also grants to us. When he forgives us of our sins, he gives us a new life. He gives us a spiritual birth, which the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about it, so that when God saves us in that sense, he has given us that new birth. He has given us another nature to that which we have. Say, yes, Christo. So, woman, here or a strike, Calvary, a Savior, and so on, no power for real. And before I understand, say, I mean, this is the same way, the Bohemia, maybe the race, same one. They are one of the body chamber. And what are the body chamber? In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see how this verse explains to us very clearly that God will know, I think you should know, dear, I did not know. Yakupo, a mom to me, some of my Yakupomba. Among his mom to me, some of my Yakupomba. Among who I did it, dear. So you see, faith in Christ is funny. The new birth is connected to faith in Christ. When I come to believe in him, repent of sin, and trust in him as my Savior, not trust in anything, rest all my hopes of salvation in him, God gives me. He doesn't only just forgive, he forgives my sin, that's one part, and then brings into my life this spiritual birth which the Lord is speaking about. So, when the Lord Jesus Christ saw Nicodemus, he saw he lacked this. Nicodemus, he's an old man, he has been a religious man from his infancy. But he has not come to know this. And Nicodemus, he will be a or the Lord Jesus Christ did not ask him, have you obeyed the commandment? Do you go to church? Do you pray? No. You must be born again. When he said, Uka, sorry, and now, Udi, Miranda, so. And I said, we yes, we were saying, or say, we now hope for. And that is very important to us. That is very important to us, to be born again. Another aspect of to be born again is to have God's image lost by sin restored in your soul. Say, yes, I hope for, my son's stressed. You see, when we are born again, God restored to our soul his holy life. And this is a spiritual renewal, not physical. This change, I mean, this kind of restoration is spiritual. He brings to our soul what we lost in Adam. You know, before Adam sinned, Adam was perfect in the eyes of God. Because God's, he had that principle of life which makes him to love, to live a holy life. But then sin came to change that. So God gives us that strength, the power, and his life which enables holiness in the soul, the soul which formerly was dead in sin. But after you know, Yakupon is answering, but a man of 2 years or crown for you. You see, to be able to live a holy life, you must be given the strength. We don't have the strength. I'll say, but to me, I chance or crown for you, or say, you might start 2 minutes. You need to start 2 minutes. By our natural birth, nobody wants to be holy. We don't want, we may claim that we don't, because we love us. So we have been dead and said, God. When he gives the Holy Spirit gives us this new birth, he brings to our souls that strength to live in holiness. You see, to me, just say, to me, it did walk from Crown but the shame. So now we have that strength to live a holy life. To be born again, it's like a new life, and Ephesians 4:24 tells us, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at the description. As you say, I'll go for you, and when I demand, and he said, as soon as you go on, I'm born, turn in name, come for your papa. You see, true holiness, he qualifies it true holiness, because people have fake holiness, like the Pharisees, outward holiness, where they, well, they pray, they try to do good, and people see them good. But true holiness begins from the heart and shows on the outside. And this is what the Bible tells. This new verse, this new life brings to us true holiness and righteousness. So that I want to live my life to please God, because Christ has given me what it takes to be. He has given me his righteousness. You see, I have that righteousness from Jesus Christ, which has made me perfect. Though I am still imperfect, but then I now desire to follow after righteousness. I pursue after righteousness. So it is the receiving of the Spirit of Christ in the soul. It's also receiving of the Spirit of Christ in the soul. So Christ na ne kra abeshe nipa nimu. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we are told, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He also said, no, be any Christo sunsumwa or any Christo dia. And how do we have the Spirit of Christ in us? Through this new birth. You see, how can I have it? It's through this new birth. And is that what God does for anyone who is born again? And so, being born again, then the person begins to derive spiritual life and sustenance from Jesus Christ. And think, because the life of Christ in the soul, say, when you go for another faith, Nipanoa, you don't go for another faith. Now, proud of them, maybe be a man of more day, so the class as you know. Of Chiefy Yesu Christo. And then just like, Sebas or ABBI, Yesu Christo has sent him up, to draw a life from Jesus Christ means that I depend on him. I live according to his will, his commands, and I live according to what he says. You see? That is how I can know that I live, I dwell on him. I depend on him because what he has said is my law, it's all that I have to. That is my wisdom, you see. That's what Bible will. I mean, that Christ will dwell in our by faith, you see. And how can the faith come? Faith come by hearing by the word of God. So that if I am born again, now Christ will become my standard of life. Whatever Christ has said, become. And before then, this life must come into my heart. I must have this change done in my heart, which is done by the Spirit of God. And when this is done to me, now this life in me makes me draw everything from him. As a branch will draw nutrients and support from the stalk of the plant. How can a branch of a plant live except it is connected to the stalk? That is how it is. How can the new life survive? The believer is connected to Christ. He draws from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ does describe this relationship in John chapter 15, verse 5. He said that I am the vine, you are the branches. This could not cast up and say, oh, no, ye, Diano. Yeah, then, and man, a jetty for when you move, ah, yanky and vano, I was our hope for you, yeah, man, and man, yes, Christa, or I say, oh, no, ye, Diano. So, it is having the image of God restored. This life of God restored. We say we have temporal life, and this life we live in sin. This we must have another life which will make us live to please God. And this it is by this life that will lead people to eternal life. Spiritual life is eternal life, but we know when we have it, we are not living eternally. By time will come, when this world passes over, then those who have spiritual life in them, they are only those who live with Christ, with God eternally. They make us say, Sir, and my soon sumua, I said the I don't know map of BPR that you are better than people, only Christo better than them. I don't know map of Kenya. So, Minyasa, I will for you, Naminyasa, Susumu, Empano, Susuma, whatever the swap. And then the church said, that she many used to birth now half ago. If I don't have the new birth now, forget about eternal life with Christ. The minister of our that we are said, my life in the world to come wouldn't be a happy life, it would be a miserable one, because that would be a way of punishment. But those who have been brought into this spiritual life are those alone who live with Christ, because Christ's life is in them. They do not want that. I'm going to ask you to be to me in Christ after that. If it's a Christ, I'm going to be Christ. I'm going to be Christ. So it's a token that they will be living. They will be living with Christ in eternity. Now I come to another aspect of this new birth, this heavenly birth. So that is the science of spiritual birth, of how do I know if I am really born again. Many people say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've repented of sin. How do I know I'm born again? We can think of that. The first thing, the first sign, If you say, I'm a brave, if I say, well, I'll tell you, you know, maybe I'm a pastor, and I'm a pastor, and I said, my age is to me. The first thing is spiritual understanding. So the spiritual birth brings illumination to the mind. By habit of sin, everyone has wrong view about his own sinfulness, also about God's holiness. You see, when they base my yet one evening to know, Obia, Satibia, what's that to be anymore? Smith, my head boy, and Obuni. In a basement of Ponsia, Obuni. You see, we always say, well, we are sinners, but we are not too bad, at least. And also, we think of God, well, God will also. Will not be so hard upon us. After all, God knows that we are sinners. But then, when we are born again, there's what this kind of doubt and unclear understanding about ourselves and God is cleared away. The spiritual birth makes a person to discover the total depravity of his heart. That he is so guilty as sinner before God. Say, So this comes to us when we have been born again, to understand that before God, it just a single sin makes me unclean. And if it's just my natural birth, makes me unclean. You see, it is understand which comes to us when we have this spiritual birth, so that I begin to seek His forgiveness, and I begin to seek Him to ever cleanse me. You see, and she said, "Many a saint has said that they be having me born persons on me. That becomes my purpose of life. That each and every day God should cleanse me because I see that I'm unclean. You see, like somebody who is blind and dirty." Well, he can't see. They dressed him up, they put a dirty dress, he doesn't know, he's looking up and down. And then sometimes his eyes open. Because of that person, he will not continue to wear the dirty dress. He will want to have a better dress. That's the picture. So that in my sinfulness, I don't see my dirtiness. But when the Spirit gives me this new life, I realize, oh, I'm dirty. Oh, no. And nobody in a sound mind, when he sees or she sees a dirty person, want to be dirty. No, nobody will do that. Everybody who sees his or her dirty, they want to be dressed, washed, and dressed up. You know the man who was we are told the possessed man at Gadara, the demon possessed man at Gadara. We are told that before nobody can even tell him he didn't wear any dress, but when Christ healed him. And he was convicted, he was changed. We were told that he came back and they saw him sitting down in his right mind, well clothed. When before he was not free from that possession, he didn't care about his outward appearance. He didn't care about his condition. So it is that's how the spiritual birth is, or spiritual illumination is about. When I am clear about my sinfulness, then I realize how dirty I am before God. And I remember crying to him, Lord, make me clean. Like the leper, in the lepers in the Old Testament, in the lepers, they are told to live outside the city. And all, when people, when they are walking around, they say, I am unclean. Nobody should come close to me. And that is how every sinner, truly who is born again, sees him or herself. He will never live a day that he would not come to the Lord. And he would have so much to think that the person will realize he has done wrong. And even maybe he has not stolen, he has not insulted, but in his own mind, he realized there's so much guilt coming and going out from the mind and seeing all sorts of things. He comes before God. So this illumination is through this spiritual birth. When we are born again, then we are clear about this. Until then, though we are sinners, we don't care about that. As a blind man, a blind person in his daily growth, he doesn't care. He moves about, it's okay. And also, this illumination brings to us to discover the truthfulness of God's promises. Before conversion, before this new birth, which clears our mind, every sinner doubts God. Well, or did it to a point. But on Yankupon name Bosha, so Beggy and Quan, so Obehia, so, sir, ma, you have your rentals on the way in the engine too. You know why people are struggling? I mean, discontent about life, and they claim to be Christians. Well, some may have become, probably, their faith has become low, but most of them, they cannot trust God. They cannot trust His word. You see, but to trust God and His word comes to us when we are born again. You see, how can I trust Him that He will take care of me? How can I trust Him that when I'm ill, He will keep me? How can I trust Him that He who knows my tomorrow will hold me so that I don't have to be anxious, and that will move me not to even seek Him and to know Him, but to follow after life and think that that only give me profit and gain in life? It's the life of a sinner. It's only in the blindness of our mind that we think that if we try to know God more, we may lose many things in the world. Many people think like that. If I know God, if I become a true and sincere Christian, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot have this, I cannot. No, it's a lie. It's a sinful mind that deceives us. So that when God says, voila. Like, you know the young ruler, the rich young ruler, when Lord Jesus Christ told him, sell everything and come and follow me. He could not trust the words of Jesus Christ. How can I do that? My things are my life. You see? The mechanism say, I'm going to say, That's another thing. But mostly, depends to me from where I'm coming from. There's darkness in the mind because of sin. We cannot trust God. So, that's what they think. And that is darkness of the human mind. To compare the word of God to money. The Bible tells us the whole world will pass away, but the word of God will never pass. To think that the word of God is so much important as the food that we eat. You know what Job said? He said I've made that word the most important thing that my necessary food that I eat. You see? And in the state of sinfulness. But for us to be able to trust in the Lord and to rest our hopes in Him and to be content that God is our God and we trust in Him, no matter what, comes to us when we are born again. You see? So in times of trouble, we can still hold on to God, knowing that if everything is moved out of this world, God is not moved. It only comes to when we are born again. So that whatever happened to my life, even death, I may die, but God will be with me because I will be saved. When I die, He will be with me. We can remember Stephen when he was being stoned. And he said, God, forgive those people who are stoning me. Because he has a better hope than even those who are killing him, because he was going to be with the Lord. That is how this event brings to us, so that even in times of the trouble, the greatest trouble in this world falling upon us, the believer says, God is with me. My soul he will keep. Yes, this body will perish and go, but I'm going to be with the Lord. And that alone should keep me. You see? And it comes to us because spiritual understanding, illumination. When we are enlightened, you know, Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians that God, even believers, we need to be more of this enlightenment. You know that the promise of God are so sure for us. You see, we need more of the enlightenment so that we will hold on to the truth of God. It comes to us when we are born again. You see, that's one thing people don't know. Am I able to really trust in God in everything? You see, so that when I am born again, doubt about God is cleared away. His word, though I may struggle to obey Him, yet I know that that is the truth. And that is what I have to hold on to. The next thing about the new birth, the other sign we see when we are born again is that the renewal of the conscience. So by the spiritual birth, every sin makes the conscience uneasy. Until the person, the sin is repented and fresh discovery of pardon and love of Christ is received. Until that I have really sought forgiveness, I have really sought the Lord to help me, to cleanse me, then I have realized that now God, the love of God is still with me. You see, even as a believer, if I sin and I have not confessed and I have not repented, then there's that kind of I become even doubtful. I become so my trust in the Lord and the love of Christ in my heart becomes so wicked, so that I don't feel after the Lord. You see, I don't feel after the things of the Lord. When I read the Bible, it doesn't become so lively to me. When I sing the hymns, it becomes so lively to me. When I pray, it becomes like just saying some words. You see, when sins are confessed and cleansed, this is the feeling of the true believer. He cannot genuinely pray. He cannot genuinely, do anything for the Lord and have happiness and joy in those things, even for the believer. So, when the mind is renewed, the conscience is renewed, the believer is aware of any sin and is uneasy until he has repented of them and the Lord has cleansed him. This is a sign of a person who is born again. He doesn't He doesn't say a foolish word a vain word and he's gone. It's like where to the believer, every word counts. Like with unbelievers, we know they think words words are like air. I said it and I'm gone. No. Thoughts are like, I thought of it, it's gone. No. The believer will recollect. I thought about this bad thing. God cleansed me. And every bad thought brings even filthiness to their mind. Every bad desire, I ask the Lord to cleanse me. Anyone who has become alive to these things, there's a new man. That every filthy thing aroused me to seek, to be cleansed, you see. There are some babies they have dated themselves, they don't care. I know, but those of you who are friends, you know that some babies also, they don't want to have dirtiness at all. So when they are wet, they will cry till their diapers are changed. There are some who don't care as long as it is there. You see, this example of using so that like the new birth, like those, like the babies, that they don't want to have any wetness at all. You see, everything makes the person who has had the new birth uncomfortable. So it is cleansed. So it is taken away. It may not be great sin as people think of, but then it comes to seek pardon from the Lord. And another aspect of this new birth that comes to us is that the will is renewed. The power to do things that kind of force to do things. The determination is changed. By the spiritual birth, there is a sincere determination to obey God in all things. See, the spirit inclines, this spiritual birth inclines the world to delight in obedience to the Lord. So, I will pray, Ma, yea, eh, I said in your manner, a question of who was it? A man, I've been yano, a pet, I mean, a person of, somebody, a good pet, and after. So, the world is renewed because a true believer will not be somebody who's ever certain ambitions and aims of life so opposite of the will of God. No. But you know, believers don't care. Well, I'll go to this place, I'll do that. They don't care. They don't care about that. But a believer, whatever he determines to do, whatever he plans to do, the first thing, hey, will it really affect my personal devotion? Will it really affect my prayer life? Will it really affect my commitment to the Lord? Then there's a red line. No matter how beneficial it will be, there's a red line. But then, the person who is born again, even if he has disobeyed, it will recollect in his mind and he has to return. He will not go ahead and, like unbeliever, he doesn't care. But the believer, even if he has disobeyed, at a point, then he has to break off and turn back again and seek for the Lord to cleanse and really go back again to the right thing. Another thing we see about the new birth in the person is the delight in prayer. So we have a pen and pipe, a pen and I mean, the cordon pipe. The scripture repent by the spiritual birth, prayer becomes a delight. Pipe over here, and it's a dear. I said, a dear, the cordon. And yes, the world, I'm sorry, no, I said, actually, my pipe was miserable, my book, and I'm going to be daddy. The new birth to me brings this desire, delight in prayer. There will be that constant, I desire to pray and bring all my things before God. I will not make a plan without bringing them before the Lord. You see? And every day he's praying. You know, and when I talk of prayer, I'm sure we know now there's people in prayer, and all over. I'm not talking about that binding, declaring, casting prayers, no. Many people, they like to pray, but they are going to cast their, they are going to bind their enemies, they are going to chain their enemies, and no. This is a person who is going to pray that the Lord will really uphold him to continue to be faithful to him. You see? So that it becomes that person, his prayers are just so humble and honest. This is God, humble and honest prayer. And this is bestowed in our hearts by the Lord, by this new birth. So many as our and she said, a year of Paiwa, it's my make the groom, a idea, and possibly be ready. Yes, I well, Martin Simon, I mean, came, and I said, we pay just in your home, and you may be to come on, and be ready. Some young major, with him, Akuma, with him, and Miss Shun. Na because we move, and then probably one person could bomb by if you saw a competition in town for another corner or a canon means the Lugan at town for Sudavi, and you know, my boy, I can. Some I want to do before my young, and then yet, I will feel we are Christoizing in Pano. I am Pipo, Christo, we are Christoizing in Pano, a home Brazilian Pipo, in Pipo, who's in a bravo saying, I'm actually radius. So, one is in the phone, a coma, a good radio, you may rather a study. In Zechariah 12 and 10, We have given this description of the prayer of the truly born again person. God, the spirit of grace and supplication. Adum and name by Bob Sunsun. Spirit of grace and supplication. Act of humility. And that verse, that one, they will mourn. The prayer is described as mourning. So the house of David will mourn. Mothers, children, father, they will all mourn. And it shows the condition of a true green person. He's praying to the Lord for his weaknesses and for all that he has seen that he cannot. Except the Lord really upholds him, looking at all the sinfulness and all the temptation that is driving him or her from the Lord. He is so affected that he comes to cry to the Lord for help. You see? Spirit of grace and supplication. That is true prayer. It's not that spread. I mean, the other prayer we see around is like they are the commanding officers. I mean, I've seen a place on my way home. They said the prayer commanding center or something. Yeah, the prayer center. They call the word is like prayer command center. Prayer is not a command. Prayer is a pleading. Prayer is ask a request. Prayer, we don't command in prayer. Prayer is not command. It's a prayer command center. It's on my way home. See, it's a prayer center. How can prayer be a command? No, prayer is a spirit of grace and supplication. You supplicate. Every praying, true praying person is a beggar at the door of mercy. Obi or one pioneer in the Krembiano, or the Shredi, or the Mobile Wayne. So how can you come to God to seek mercy? Why want to go to destroy your enemies? No, you can't pray like that. But then this new birth brings to us this sense of what? Humbleness in prayer. Look how the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Even in his great humiliation, in time that he was going to suffer in his flesh, look at his own prayer, our own Lord's prayer in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. Yes, Christ, this is how we pray. And this is, we are only taught of this by the Spirit. You see, so how can I come to the Lord in humility? Look at our dear Savior, who is the creator of the world, when he came to become our Savior in his human nature, look at how he prayed. And yet, those who think they believe in him, go and say they are commanding prayer. What a shame. Prayer is not a command. Prayer is a request. Who command a request? Only God can command requests, not us. He can make a request and command us to follow, and not us. You see? So, these things are the things of what? It shows us if we have these things in us, and even if there's a small sign of it in us, it will grow. You see, God will find it. The Lord just writes, He will find it. He will make it grow. And I'll become more like one of His people. So when the Lord just writes to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He meant that every person born into this world must have such changes done in his soul. Such changes in the conscience, such changes in the will, such changes in the understanding, such changes in the, even about prayer, it must happen in the soul. A spiritual renewal which only God can produce in us, without which no one can become part of God's people. That's what he told them. That's the meaning when he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, except a man have had this change in him, he cannot see God, he cannot know God. Every act he does, he thinks he's involved in the things of God, is a lie. Like Nicodemus himself, he was a religious leader, but he wasn't born again. He wasn't. It's a new person before God. God never accepted religion. But my question to you, are you a believer also? Do you have this heavenly bread? Do you also have it? Yes, Christo, and you are the man who them was, your passion is Nipa ya wa baby, I say, ah, we do boy any. Copy and breast over your sir and son, so you have to your own. Now, when your sir and your my have more sweet, so what do you move? You have to call home, answer when you have to say, who pay back the sun, pile book, crab, or dead, and the Bessima, Bonnie Cratch, and who go to Miss Bonnie, and who is my, and who goofy or best and who Are you also born again? That's the question. Do you have this signs in you? Who says remember that all these signs must be present in the person to be born again. Because a newborn baby, a baby is born into this world, he has every part and every component of a human being. He has a hand, but then it, former part will grow. The same with the new birth, when you are born again, these things are there, it will grow with time, but it must be there. You say, it must be there. But then, if you are not sure of being born again, then there should be a sincere repentance. You must go to the Lord, but ask Him to save you. But you have to go to Him. He died for sin. Only His death on the cross of Calvary can bring this back to us. You have to go to Him. He alone can save. He alone, it is His Spirit that must come to dwell in you. Always, let's remember, His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary is true that all blessings of grace are given. Go to Him, ask Him. When you are united to Him by faith, then that's the difference. Then this birth comes to us. And then it also tells us that we are not in Him if we are not born again. There is no secondary Christians and first Christians. There's mature Christians and probably growing Christians. But every Christian has these things, which is growing. No one is a genuine Christian if he is not having these things. Working of the Spirit, this new birth which really energizes us for the things of God, which energizes us in holy things. Let me tell you something before I close. You know, naturally, well, we may go to church and do, but then to really become so committed to God, we don't have the power. You see, our mind is weak, our desires are weak. There are many things that comes to us which really makes us not to be interested in it. You know, even as believers, I'm sure we all have seen sometimes how we struggle to pray. We have to really struggle to pray. You have to ask the Lord to help you to pray. Even as believers. And in any service that we do for the Lord, if we want to continue in it, sometimes we feel it is not God. There could be some other things in life which is making you not happy. And then if a genuine believer prays, the Lord comes and grants the strength. And that is it. That's the difference. We all need this spiritual strength, so that we can truly know that the Lord has saved us. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.